Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spark Radio Show, filled with strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge that may be the spark of a better solution to ignite a positive change in your life. The number to call if you have questions for Melanie or any of our guests is area code 347-215-8390. Now, here's your host, Ms. Melanie.
Well, hello and welcome to or welcome back to Spark Radio. I am your host, Ms. Melanie, on this Groundhog's Day in the United States, where we're very happy that Punxsutawney Phil did not see his shadow today, which means an early spring, because here in the Midwest United States, we had our biggest snowstorm in probably 20 years, with anywhere from 16 to 21 inches of snow and 40 to 70 mile an hour winds. So definitely blizzard time for us. So very excited to have an early end to winter. Much of our area in Iowa was closed today, no travel. So it gave time, good family time, play time for many of us. And just want to do a shout out to those of you who work to keep us safe, to clean the streets, to provide emergency care and support to people in need in times like this. So if you listen regularly, I hope that you have taken action to create your success map for 2011 and that you are well on your way to achieving that success, reaching that destination this year. For those of you who are new, welcome. Tonight we'll be talking about brain-boosting strategies, because too often we end up with brain-busting strategies because we don't know how to take care of this one brain that we have throughout our life. And as my 9-year-old sometimes will say, Mom, I wish you were not the brain lady. Because I take seriously the importance of keeping our brain safe, keeping our brain healthy. And that means for him that he wears a helmet when he rides his bicycle. And unfortunately, most of the kids in our community do not wear helmets. And he did say one time, Mom, I think you should run for mayor or maybe even president, so then you could require everybody to wear helmets and keep their brains safe. And I was going, yes, a little happy day. So while he doesn't always like it and it's not always convenient, I will ask him, son, how many brains do you have? One, Mom. That's right. You have two hands, two legs, two eyes, two ears. So, you know, if you damage one, you've still got the other. However, with the brain, while we're very excited about the new research, recent research in neuroplasticity, that our brain can change itself and actually can heal itself in a lot of ways, we need to be very careful, because when we give our brains trauma in the form of physical injury or toxic chemicals or poor nutrition, we can cause damage that can challenge the brain to function at its best. So tonight our focus is in this segment about what are some brain-boosting choices you can make in your life. So let's talk a little bit about what you're currently doing to take good care of your brain. Are you eating well, sleeping well, exercising well? Are you getting the best performance from your brain? We'll talk a little bit, too, about some of the challenges we face with paying attention, for example. We get frustrated with our brain's ability or lack of it to pay attention. And the good news is our brains are always paying attention to something that it finds valuable. It just may not be paying attention to what we want. Pay attention to. And if we learn some things about how our brain works best, and we can support it. It's like we don't need to know all there is to know about how the engine of our car works or the motorized vehicle we use in order to use it. We do, however, need to know a few things, like it needs gas and oil and that type of thing. So there are some basic pieces of information that we can understand about our brains, then they can perform better. So here's my question to you. Is it important to you to have your best brain throughout your life? What does that mean to you, really? Does it mean that you're able to think clearly, to solve problems, to be productive at work, to have effective communication with people in your family, people at work? Does it mean that you can keep your memories throughout more of your life? What does that really mean? And what are some strategies around boosting your brain? If you have a question or a resource to share, the chat room is open. And also invite you to give a call at 347-215-8390. So you need to take a deep breath and inhale, and then you need to exhale, and take several long, deep breaths. Someone says, you do that a lot on your shows. And it's because most of us forget to do it during the day. So inhale deeply. And exhale. So if you inhale from 5 to 6 seconds, and then exhale for 5 to 6 seconds, you know, and some of us act like we don't deserve oxygen because we're breathing so shallowly. Maybe that's a subconscious piece, because we truly deserve good health. And our bodies were created knowing what good health is. And we just sometimes get so busy and we forget. So enjoy your deep breathing. If you are in a place that you can get a glass of water, I invite you to do that for the rest of the show. Treat your brain to some good hydration. And yes, apparently I have a frog in my throat that's going to be challenging me through our show this evening. What challenges your brain? Yeah, brain fog. We hear that phrase a lot. Just got brain fog today. Well, what if we had some strategies around what to do if we feel brain fog? We aren't thinking clearly or quickly. And what are some reasons that might be that we're not thinking quite so clearly? Well, could be your brain's having some issues with poor nutrition. If we're trying to learn something new, it's really important that we have some choline. You can Google choline and find good food sources of choline, but egg, yolks, wheat germ is the highest amount of choline per volume. My poor son, I'm just asking him to go upstairs to get something for me, and the bag was turned backwards, and I asked him to get the bag that said DDI, and he came down, I can't find it. And so he says, does it say ASTD? I said, oh, on the other side it says ASTD. And so I wanted him to grab a folder for me of material from my recent recertification as a certified brain-based trainer. I wanted to share some research pieces, references with you from there, and I realized I forgot to bring it because this is my third call in sequence tonight. I had a client call, and then I had a call with my coach, and then I had a radio show. So maybe that's why my voice is a little crackly and my glass of water is three-fourths gone. So treat your brain to water and to air. Those are two really important ingredients. And then nutrition. Your brain needs glucose, needs energy. And so you do want to treat your brain to good nutrition. So, and doing some research, and if you don't want to do the research, well, just think about this. Generally, a heart-healthy diet is a brain-healthy diet, Dr. Amen says. And those of you who are regular listeners know I reference Amen Clinics often. It's a great place. Dr. Amen's written wonderful articles and blogs to support having your best brain. He's also got great books on your brain. Change your brain, change your life. Which I don't think is actually a title, but if you look at Amazon.com, I'll also put a couple of Dr. Amen's books up here as well. And I realize other people are not as jazzed about taking care of their brain, or at least not as jazzed about doing the reading and the research and the material as I am. And so I'm excited when I can share those key strategies and key pieces with people that go, oh my gosh, I did not know that. I did not know about the importance of having choline when I'm trying to create new memories in my brain. And the importance of having water so that my brain has 75 to 85% water is what your brain's consistency or the proportion is, depending on your research. And so you need that hydration that will pull it from all the other systems of your body. So it's very important to consume water. And yes, your body can pull fluid from other liquids, but be aware of what you're consuming and be conscious about that and realize that chemicals like caffeine and alcohol are diuretics. And what that means is they actually pull water out of your system rather than putting fluid into your system. So those chemicals can make a difference as well. And yes, again, you do pull liquid from other sources. How much water do you drink? Well, based on the research, people who do arthritis research say 1 ounce of water for every 2 pounds of body weight. Take your weight divided in half. That's how many ounces of water. And that's your weight in pounds divided by two. And then other people say take your weight divided by three. Carla Hannaford and Smart Moves, which is an older resource, divided by three. That's the number of ounces that you need. And I apologize to my listeners around the world who don't work in pounds and ounces. My health coach is saying 100 ounces a day for me, and that's a lot of water. And yes, I can count other fluids, but you know, I want to have at least 64 of just pure water, and I'm a little behind today. And sometimes when you're having trouble thinking, drinking an 8 to 16 ounce glass of water gets the hydration level back up in your brain. Eating some protein, which allows the chemicals necessary for dopamine, which helps you focus your attention. Dopamine needs protein. There can be amino acids in protein to create the chemical dopamine in your brain. And so just making some good choices. When you need to be alert and focus your attention, you want to have some protein. And how often do you skip breakfast or skip lunch, or you grab a donut for breakfast and grab something from the vending machine for lunch? That's usually a bag of chips or a candy bar, which is high in the carbohydrates, usually the fast, low glycemic carbs, which break down fast and shoot our blood sugar up very quickly, which is challenging for our system. And so think about, do you consciously, as you're choosing your diet and your nutrition, often we think about our weight. We don't always pay attention to what will help our brain. Good nutrition. If we eat more foods that are grown from plants than are processed in plants, that's going to be healthier for our brain. Because our body knows how to break down natural, organic foods. It has challenges with chemicals that are not part of natural grown foods. And so be aware of what you are putting into your body and making those conscious choices about that. So nutrition is a very important part of boosting your brain. And realize if you choose to eat the junk, your brain's going to work like junk. when your brain works best, your life works best. As Dr. Amen says, when your brain's in trouble, you're in trouble. You know, and sometimes we work with chemicals. Sometimes, you know, we choose to put chemicals in our body that impact our brain and make it harder for it to function well. So, water, nutrition. Sharpbrains.com, great site. If you listened last week, got some good information. There are some pieces this week that may be review for you. Repetition helps in the learning process. Sometimes with a different story, different example, different metaphor, it will click for you. It will go. Your brain will say, oh, got it. Now it makes sense. Now I get it. Oops, just had a little green flash. I'm hoping that's not weather-related. Okay, we're good. Do you take brain breaks during the day? Sorry about that, listeners. We had a little bit of a crash. My earpiece fell out, so I apologize for the noise that you probably experienced, the volume level. So we're talking about, do you take brain breaks during your day? Or we get so caught up and I got to get this done, I have to get that done, and pretty soon, oh my gosh, didn't have a brain break. Because our brain needs time to process information. So we're trying to put new information in, new information in, new information in. There's a structure in your brain that works like a surge protector. And it will overload. Rather than overload your brain, it dumps information out before it's had a chance to be processed into long-term memory. And as Eric Jensen with Jensen Learning, who has the brain-based certification, one of the, his key phrases is too much, too fast, won't last. And so you need to have some processing time with that new information. And best to process periodically throughout new information than try and do it all at the end. Why? Because the hippocampus is going to be dumping. It's going to do a surge protector job. So, give yourself permission to have a brain break. You need a body break, too. From time to time, stand up, to move. Our bodies were made to move. And physical exercise does amazing things in the brain. Physical movement increases blood flow to the brain. When you have more blood flow, you have more oxygen and more glucose energy going to your brain. The garbage created in the brain gets carried out. The byproducts of what's happening in the cells leave the brain. When we have exercise, we grow those networks for greater blood flow. We also boost something called BDNF, which is a growth factor for brain cells. And new connections that we're trying to build, so we want to have some movement. Something else that movement does is when you're walking, if you're actually using your arms and your legs, and you're walking with the opposite arm forward and the opposite leg forward, you are increasing communication across the hemispheres of the brain. Because of cross-lateral movement. If you cross the vertical, which is like from head to toe, midline of your body, or the horizontal midline, like your waistline, you're actually getting the two sides to communicate better. So cross-crawling, doing a brain warm-up, which I believe I talked about last week, that you can actually get your brain warmed up because you've increased the blood flow to the brain. You've done the cross crawl. So real quickly, for those of you for whom it's the first time you're hearing it, and the review for the others, brain warm-up. Dr. Lynn Neff took from Dr. Carla Hannaford's work in Smart Moves, and she includes this in her strengthening and skill building program, which is written for middle school, high school students. And I love sharing that program as well. In working with students and teachers and parents, in the two-minute brain warm-up, you start with drinking water, which I mentioned earlier, grab a glass of water. Fine, and you're not thinking real clearly, grab a glass of water. And drink water for about 30 seconds. So you can drink, you know, 6 to 8 ounces of water. Then in the next 30 seconds, you're going to do what's called brain button. Put one hand on your belly button, then take your other hand across your chest and find your collarbone, your clavicle, and massage just above that. There's a little dip right above that bone. And you want to gently massage it. What you're doing is providing a little bit of pressure to your carotid artery, which increases your blood flow to your brain. Always do only one side at a time and have gentle pressure. Great to do when you're driving, as long as the belly button hand stays on your steering wheel. So you've done 30 seconds of massage on your brain button. So step one, drink water. Step two, brain button. Step three in the brain warm-up for the next 30 seconds is you do the cross crawl. Opposite hand or elbow to opposite knee. You can do it standing or sitting, and slower is better. And you're crossing both the vertical and horizontal midline of your body. So 30 seconds. And the final 30 seconds, extend your hands in front of you, palms out, put one hand up and over the other and interlock your fingers. Bring your arms down towards your stomach, bend your elbows and pull your hands up to your chest, and cross your ankles. Now, if you have balance issues, you may want to do it sitting down. And just breathe for 30 seconds. And if I were to ask you, where is the ring finger of your right hand? You'd have to stop and think, because your brain would look like the 4th of July on a scan, because it is communicating and firing in all different challenges, spatial relationships are in different places, sensory information is coming in and it's not in its normal place. And so we really are activating multiple areas of your brain. So there's a brain warm-up, 2 minutes. And I've had teenagers tell me, oh, I'm sure I'm going to do that in my class. Or people in the workplace saying, how can I do that before I'm in a board meeting? Well, if you use the restroom, if you have an office, you can close the door. And so very, very valuable to get your brain geared up to do a brain warm-up. So physical movement. Getting water in, increasing oxygen. Oh. Very important to your good functioning of your brain. So, our brain does create new cells. That is awesome. We used to think for a long time it didn't do that. So good news is we do grow cells in a number of areas of the brain, particularly the hypothalamus, our surge protector. Good, healthy, brain-boosting choices. If you want to give it good nutrition, if you want to have choline, you need antioxidants, vitamin C, vitamin E. Generally, the piece about antioxidants is it keeps free radicals from destroying the fat, the myelin around your brain cells. And what the important thing about that is, if you eat the rainbow, dark-colored, deeply colored fruits and vegetables, they're high in antioxidants. And that includes, I mean, the peeling. Dr. Oz today was talking about antioxidants and eggplant, eating the skin of the eggplant, the dark purple, to get the anthocyanins and the phytochemicals that are in plants. Very important antioxidants for the brain. Brain health. Now, they do other things in the body as well. Very helpful in keeping your brain cells healthy. We talked also about keeping your head safe. Inside your skull, there are a lot of bumps and points. And if you shake your head, bang your head, you're throwing that soft brain into those sharp points. So you want to do take a care of what you're doing to your brain and your head. I've got nephews who love soccer. Well, it's important about, especially when you're kids, when you have a header, when you hit that ball with your head, it bounces that soft brain tissue against your skull. And your brain's still developing and growing, particularly when you're a child. And so without any protective headgear to lessen that blow, there are challenges. So if you're going to be doing things, be safe, be smart. Because your brain is the consistency of custard. So you do want to take good care about how you protect your head, your brain. What are you feeding it? That's nutrition. Talk about the importance of physical exercise, walking. Just taking a walk can help clear that brain fog. More oxygen. The movement changes your brain's chemistry, changes your brain's function, and helps to clear the fog. If you get stuck, so often we go, I just can't figure this out. Take a quick walk. Walk to the bathroom. Which is, someone had said one time, if I drink that much water, I'll be in the bathroom every 15 minutes. And your body does adjust to that as well. So, what about mental exercise? Mental exercise is important for keeping your brain healthy, to boost your brain. And that can be anything from learning something new, whether that's a new game that you're playing, a new class that you're taking, a new skill that you're learning, a different kind of puzzle you're trying to solve, reading about different subjects. Your brain seeks learning and knowledge. That's when it's growing and developing and making new connections and staying, quote, sharp. And sharpbrains.com is a great website full of different kinds of resources, as well as some good research about different products that propose to improve your brain function. And many of us, the baby boomer generation particularly, are concerned as we're aging about what's normal aging with our brains and what's not, how do we keep our brains healthy to ward off dementia or Alzheimer's. So when you think about what you put in your mouth, be aware of, what's this going to do to my brain? Is this going to help my brain? Could this harm my brain? And make some conscious choices about that, because once again, how many brains do you have? One. At the present time, we're not able to do a brain transplant. So we need to take good care of it if we want it to do its best for us throughout our lives. Will you commit in 2011, starting right now, to take the best care of your brain? Your choice. I invite you to embrace the idea that you can make positive brain-boosting choices, even when you're having challenges to your brain, even when you've had brain injuries, closed head injuries, when you've been exposed to toxins. Your brain can rewire itself. It may take a while. It may take a lot of physical therapy, stroke recovery, depending on how much of the brain is damaged. It's amazing what kind of recovery can happen after stroke, especially if it's treated quickly. What is it that you would like your brain to do better, or that maybe you've seen someone else's brain do great things? You're like, why is it that I have trouble with that? Because while there are some similarities in our human brains, there are also some things that make us unique. Part of it is genetic and part of it is learned. The good news is we can learn a lot. We have the capacity to learn an amazing amount of information. And we can work in harmony with some natural processes about that happen in our brain. The way that our brain naturally does things, rather than trying to force feed the brain, overload it with too much information. Do you get enough sleep? Talk about that also. The importance of getting good sleep to allow your brain to clean out the irrelevant details that we don't need to consciously be able to pull from each day. Memories that are not strongly connected may not get the chance to connect. They may remain fragments or they may be completely gone. Getting good sleep is important. And how much a night will that vary by person? Depending on the research you read, and teens generally need more. But 8-9 hours, too much doesn't help the brain either. So nutrition, physical exercise, mental exercise, sleep, and choosing your stress. Can you be the zebra throughout your day? Do you have the moments where, like the zebra, if there's something that causes you stress, you have that physical reaction in your body and brain so that you can survive the threat, real or perceived or imagined threat, because just worrying, thinking about that, causes the same physical reaction in your body because the brain can't tell the difference between what's real and what's imagined. So in those moments when the zebra is about to be attacked by a hyena, adrenaline kicks up, their system speeds up, their attention focuses, and they run away, or their lunch. And when that's over, what happens? The zebra goes about eating and enjoying the day, right? Or at least the system slows back down again. Well, in humans, unfortunately, we imagine and worry about a lot of things that happened in the past, as well as things that might happen in the future, and we spend the bulk of our time at an elevated level of stress. Our brain and our body were not designed or stress for long periods of time. For a few minutes, great. But we tend to, some of us, go for hours operating at a high stress level. And that takes its toll on us in multiple body systems, including our brain and nervous system. So the fourth pillar of brain health, according to Fernandez, is stress management. I call it choose your stress, because once you understand some strategies about the brain and the power of language and thought, you can be the zebra. You can choose your stress. Choose how long you're in a period of stress so that your body, your system, can operate in the feedback loop in which it was designed. The chemicals that speed your system up, and then there are chemicals released designed to slow your system back down again. Problem is, we end up releasing both at the same time. It's like pushing an accelerator and a brake simultaneously in a vehicle. And then the system doesn't know what it's supposed to be doing. And it creates stress on both the accelerator system and the braking system and all the parts that are trying to move and are truly in a tug of war with one another. So Be the Zebra is a wonderful seminar filled with strategies that I love sharing with clients in both coaching and seminars. What are some things you can do to choose your stress? First of all, just a quick tip. Your brain is really powerful. Your mind's amazing. You can choose your perspective. You can choose the story that you tell yourself. One of my favorites is to get all worked up about something that went wrong, whether it's I was wearing two different colored shoes one morning and I'm in front of a manager's meeting and it's going to be training there all day, and someone looked over and said, "Are you trying to make a fashion statement, Melanie?" I said, "Oh, why?" She said, "Because you're wearing two different colored shoes." And indeed I was. One was navy, one was brown. And of course my brain was going through all this mental blah, 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 how this is awful. And I said, you know what? I really want to teach people observation skills today, and I wanted to see how long it would take before someone noticed. So I was wearing two different colored shoes. Thank you. And she said, yeah, right. And we all laughed. And here's a strategy. If you say 5 years from now I'll laugh about this, why wait? Laugh now. Laughter changes the chemistry in your body, the chemistry in your brain, and puts you in a different emotional state, which then leads to a different physical state, and you're able to focus. It's a state shift, and that's important. So, physical exercise is another good strategy for choosing your stress as well. And then the third piece that we'll just touch on in our last few minutes is languaging. The story that you tell yourself. And often our ego, or we start thinking that everything's about us. It's all about someone wants to do something to make your life miserable. And we start creating this self-talk in this scenario that escalates the negative emotion or the stress. What if you change your story? Make it funny. What if instead of complaining about the driver in front of you or the fact that you're hitting every red light on the way to work and say, really, do you think that somebody's up there saying, okay, here comes Melanie, turn on the red light. You really want to slow her down today. Really? And you laugh. Because, you know, we take things so personally when truly it's not always personal. We can choose a different perspective. And with the power of using our imagination, we can use it for worry or we can use it to create a very different possible outcome. What if we put as much energy into creating that positive possibility thought as we do in the worry thought, or more in the positive thought? Here's the thing. As I said, the mind cannot tell the difference between something that's real and something that's vividly imagined. And sports psychologists have been using this for a long time. That's why athletes visualize the successful run, the successful race, the successful dive, and they see every step, they feel everything in their body as if they were successful. There's a piece of research done with people shooting free throws, and they took one group and they said, we want you to practice when you shoot 25 free throws every day. The other group was visualizing shooting 25 free throws every day, and the third group didn't do anything with basketball at all. And at the end of the time period, which I believe was a month, they came in and they had them shoot free throws. And the group that shot free throws for 25 free throws every day for 30 days, do you think they scored better than the other two groups? Actually, the group that shot the 25 free throws and the group that visualized shooting 25 free throws scored equally well. And, of course, both did better than the group that didn't touch or think about basketball for a month. It's a very powerful piece of research. And how often do we imagine negative outcomes to conversations or meetings? What if we imagine them to go very well? And we've had a mental conversation that we had, you know, good communication, we both expressed our opinions, whatever the situation is, and we had a good outcome. And finally, a quick piece about language and about your brain. Your brain has challenges with the word not. It doesn't understand how to not do something. Most of us think in images. And you've heard the power of the pink elephant if you're a regular listener. If you're new, here's the story. Do not, under any circumstances, even for a split second, see in your imagination a pink elephant. Do not think about it. Do not see a pink tail. Do not see a big pink floppy ears. No pink elephant. Do not see a pink elephant. Now, if I ask you if you're successful, 99% of the people, when I do this in seminars, and if my clients will say, saw the pink elephant right before it turned purple, or, you know, just it was a giraffe right after it was a pink elephant. And too often we say, I do not want this outcome. I do not want to be sick. I do not want this conflict. And what our brain gets is, I do want this conflict. I do want to be sick. And there's a system in your brain called the reticular activating system that acts like radar. And it allows to come to your awareness that which you believe, that which you focus on, that which you put your attention on. Because there's so much sensory stimuli coming into your brain at one time that if it all came to your conscious awareness, you would totally be overwhelmed and be unable to focus on any of it. So it filters what comes to your awareness. What's allowed to come to your awareness is what you focus on, what your goals are, what you put your attention on. It's like all of a sudden, whoa, look over there. So two things related to that. One, you want to state positively what you want, aware of what you do not want. If you're writing goals or talking about intentions or planning for the day. And secondly, you want to make sure that you use not strategically, because you could say and tell the truth in advance around, I am not wealthy today. I am not at my best health today. Because your brain will skip the not, I am at my best health today. Then your reticular activating system is bringing to its awareness what will come to support that belief. And so use not strategically. So using language is really important, and using imagery, your visualization, is another important skill that works naturally with your brain system, your mind system. So as we wrap up in our last few minutes, we've covered several strategies to boost your brain, to have your best brain at work, at school, and at home. Physical exercise, mental exercise, conscious nutrition, stress management, choosing your stress, choosing your language that supports you and brings to your awareness what you're putting your attention on, all works in harmony with your brain. So each of these is another show all unto itself, and we'll probably be addressing those throughout the year. Next week, I'm excited to bring you Guy Harris, the co-author of the new book, From Bud to Boss. From Bud to Boss, about remarkable leadership for new supervisors. And that book is being released on February 15th. And you can go to From Bud to Boss, Google From Bud to Boss. There's a community available. We'll be talking about some communication issues that can arise with new supervisors. And so if you are a new supervisor, have recently been one, currently work with new supervisors, or know of new supervisors in your life, please invite them to join me next Wednesday at 7 p.m. with Guy Harris. And we'll be talking about that transition, successful transition from bud to boss. As always, I want to thank you for joining me, for investing your valuable time to be with me. And tonight in our discussion of boosting your brain. And finally, it's been nice to spend some time. The most important transition is to take action on something that you heard that can be that positive resource, that positive change for your life. Please see a doctor if you're considering adding exercise or adding any kind of supplements to your diet so that you're making good choices for your physical health. And until next time, I hope that you make brain-boosting conscious choices and stay safe. Yes, our music isn't functioning for our outro tonight. So thanks again for being here, and I look forward to being with you again next week.